It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You will get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent podcast and our most recent op-eds. And actually, I recorded two podcasts yesterday. You will not want to miss those. One was with Stephen Peck. He is part of the Navy Medical Service Corps, as well as a former director of the Douglas County School Board, a millennial, a father. A really great conversation regarding current issues, the fraud that's going on in this particular election, and also Dr. Jill Vecchio. She went through each of these states, state by state, what the legal action is in each of these states regarding, again, potential fraud. And so be sure and check those out. You can find that again at kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. We've got a great show planned for you today. And in the first segment, we'll be talking with one of my great partners, and that's Hal Van Herkey with Castlegate Knife and Tool. And then we'll be talking with Lauren Levy, Karen Levine. And third and fourth segment, oh, and Jason McBride at the bottom of the hour. And third and fourth segment, we have an amazing treat for you. 98-year-old Major General John Ron. He was with the 5th Ranger Battalion, 1st Wave, Omaha Beach, June 6, 1944. You will not want to miss that. It has been quite a week, Producer Steve. In the third and fourth segment, we have highlighted one of our veterans because it is Veterans Day week, and it has just been a powerful week for me.
Their testimonies, their stories, they're gripping. They're just, if you have within you to put yourself in their shoes and put yourself into the moment in history, their firsthand accounts are just gripping. I can't think of any other word to describe it.
And you can go to the website, and we have all the podcasts and the recaps of the shows there. And you can pick that up and listen to that. As we look at these issues, we look at them as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Ultimately, socialism comes down to force. And if something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And it is absolute. Well, you know what? I also like to say thank you. Thank you to you, my listeners. And be sure and tell people about us. We search for truth. We want to be an honest, trustworthy place that you can go and talk about these or think about these issues. And I appreciate each one of you. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body today, and strive for excellence, and this great team that I get to work with, Producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. There is a lot to be grateful for, and make sure that you also say thank you to the big guy upstairs as well. This is absolutely astonishing. Andrew Yang, who was running for president, and New York Times columnist Thomas Friedman are encouraging Democrats to move to Georgia to vote in the senatorial special election. And Stephen Peck and I were talking about this yesterday on this podcast. It's like, wait a minute. You've already voted in your state in a senatorial election. So in essence, they're encouraging people to vote twice. And it's the real spirit of things. They may be able to figure out how to legally do that. But from a character moral issue, there's a real question about this, Producer Steve.
You mentioned Andrew Yang, and I went to him and I found an article on, you know, Yahoo has a staff of writers, and this particular writer says Yang is surprised and disappointed that more Asian American voters did not renounce Trump. And I'm thinking, okay,
is that racist?
Well, it goes on. I mean, they kept on trying to hang the label xenophobe on him. Because Trump repeatedly called the coronavirus the China virus or the Kung flu, F-L-U, you know, in the tweets that he was putting out. So haven't we established that's where it came from? What was the big deal in what he was saying? Let's call it what it is. But, and again, you know, either Yang's an idiot or he is just again, just like most of the people in on his side of the fence, assume that Americans are generally stupid.
Well, I find it more than that. I find that it's dishonest what he is asking people to do. And in essence, he is disenfranchising. He is negating the vote of everyday hardworking Georgians. And there's something, there's a disrespect that you have when you are encouraging other people to, in essence, go out and cheat. You have a disrespect for the system. You have a disrespect for the voters of Georgia. There is just a general disrespect. And so my friends, Andrew Yang, when he was running for president, was calling for a universal basic income, implying that we want to make sure everyone, you know, has enough to live on because we care about you. Wait a minute. He is showing he doesn't really care. He cares about power. And they it looks like there could be anywhere from a $500 million to $1 billion that could be spent on these two senatorial races. And Stephen Peck, when we were doing the op-ed or the podcast, he said, you know, every one of us should probably try to send a little bit of money to these two Republican candidates in Georgia, because there's going to be the big money is going to be coming in on the other side, because what is at stake is power, and what is at stake is the American idea. And with that, though, I always do a quote. And this one is a little long, my friends, but when I was in Normandy, I found this. This was at one of the museums, and it was from a Frenchman to our veterans. And I think it's so powerful. So just stop for just a minute. I want you to listen to this. It says, "Dear veteran, I'm writing to say thank you. And through me, there are thousands of children speaking to thousands of veterans. Like us, you were young and carefree. But when you were only 20 years old, liberty called you to say, I'm dying, come and save me. And you arose full of courage and zeal to answer that call. You underwent training day after day for D-Day, and one day in June you arrived by air and sea. And you fought with the heart and soul of a free man so that we too might be free. You saw your fellows fall on our beaches and in our fields, and in spite of your grief and your injuries, you stayed on and fought side by side with us. And so, dear veteran, I want to tell you regarding those dear to you who sacrificed their youth and are now resting in peace, the sleep of the just, that we are the children they never had. And to you, dear veteran, who offered your bravery and your most promising years for our land, I say to you, we are your sons, sons and daughters of liberty, who want to say to you today a heartfelt merci." It's one of the most beautiful things that I have seen in a long time. And this show comes to you because I have such amazing partners. And with that, on the line with me is one of our value partners. That is Hal Van Herke. He is the owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool. Also a veteran, right, Hal?
Yeah, veteran in the 80s. Fortunately for me, our most peaceful time in our nation's history.
I like that. I like peacetime. And thank you for stepping forward. As I've learned with veterans, I say thank you for my freedom. So thank you for my freedom. We've got this great show planned for you today. I just read this piece that I'd gotten when I was over in Normandy. A thank you to our veterans. Our guys are so revered still in Europe for what they did to stand against Hitler and free them from tyranny and from evil. And I know that that's near and dear to your heart as well, Hal Van Herke.
Yeah, as I was listening to what you just read, I too have been at some of those sites and things and monuments and in the little towns on the coast that we hit in France during, you know, D-Day and stuff, and have seen how they maintain that tradition. And one of the comments that you said in there was that we are the sons, your sons and daughters of liberty. And I was thinking, I hope that we are doing a good enough job in this country of remembering the sacrifices of our greatest generation and ensuring that we have sons and daughters of liberty here in our own country that appreciate that sacrifice and that the sacrifice that all veterans have done in the name of freedom. Because above and beyond all else, duty, honor, country, et cetera, it's about freedom. And I just want to make sure that I'm doing my part, and I think we all need to think about doing our part, that we're raising the next greatest generation that's going to value freedom, that's going to value standing up for something that you believe in, peaceful warriorship, doing the right thing, leading by example, willing to sacrifice your self-interest for a moral code and value system that you believe in that's greater than yourself. And that one phrase, you know, we are your sons and daughters of liberty, really struck me. So now I'm going to make my New Year's resolution for next year to make sure that I'm doing things to help raise that next generation.
And I'm right there with you, Hal Van Herkey. I many times say that we stand on the shoulders of giants, and it is our time, it is our responsibility to step forward, and I know that you and I are in total agreement with that. Castlegate Knife and Tool, speaking of veterans and all, you have a wide array of selection of knives and tools there at Castlegate, but for military personnel, you've got a special deal going.
Yeah, we always have a special deal going for active duty military or veterans or first responders, and that it's 10% off anything in that we sell either online or in the store, and that's on top of any other promotions that may be going on at that time. Normally, we only allow people to pick one promotion and not stack promotions, but we add that veterans discount on top of any other sale we have going, discount, et cetera. And we do that as a way of saying thank you and making their financial life a little easier. We also always make sure that we're carrying a number of knives that are specifically tailored toward individuals that are being deployed overseas or are going downrange and might need a specific knife for a specific task or purpose, whether it's a work knife, fighting knife, something that has some mechanical flexibility for them, et cetera, that we have that in stock and that we prioritize getting them their knife with priority service and expedited shipping, et cetera.
Well, and we are coming into Christmas time, holiday shopping, and Castlegate Knife and Tool is a great place to do the shopping for somebody that may be difficult to find a gift for. And I know that you can help out with that as well.
Yeah, we have, it's a great, you know, knives are a great gift. They're great stocking stuffers or to fill in for that hard to, you know, buy for a person on your list. Everybody likes knives. We have pocket knives, gentlemen's knives. We have kitchen knives, all kinds of different things you can purchase that would, you know, be just right for that one person you're having trouble with on your list or somebody that you know is a big fan of different knives. And most guys will say you can never have too many knives. So that, you know, that's always a thought too. So, yeah, we're looking forward to this holiday season. We've got a great selection. We're also launching our new website next week, which we have been working on for almost a year. So we're excited about that. It's almost done. So we're looking forward to that. And I'll have more the next time I'm on your show to talk about with respect to the new website and probably a special promotion around that. And otherwise, you can reach us at www.castlegate.com or we're in Sedalia, Colorado at 540 Plum Avenue, Sedalia. Or you can always call us. We're a traditional family-run business, so you can actually call and speak to us at 303-214-4303.
Well, Hal Van Herkey, Castlegate Knife and Tool, thank you. I so appreciate your partnership on both my shows, on both the Kim Munson Show as well as America's Veteran Stories. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim.
And before we go to break, I want to give a shout out to Hooters Restaurants, another one of my great partners. They have five locations, Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. They have specials if it's a football game day. They have to-go specials. They have a party pack if you're going to have some friends over, which is nice to have friends over during this time. And then they also have lunch specials, happy hour, kids eat free, all kinds of great information. Go to HootersColorado.com for more information. That's HootersColorado.com. We'll be right back.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get first look at all of the upcoming guests, as well as our most recent podcast and our most recent op-eds. There will be two great podcasts in this newsletter. Then they will be on the website after that. One is with Stephen Peck, who is with the Navy Medical Service Corps, and then another one with Dr. Jill Vecchio. We're talking about this current election. They're very, very interesting podcasts. And go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. On the line with me is Lauren Levy. He is a mortgage specialist with Polygon Financial Group. And Lauren Levy, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Kim. Thank you.
It is Veterans Day week, and we have had amazing veterans on each day this week to honor them. And I know that veterans are near and dear to your heart as well. You're a partner on both of my shows, which I really appreciate. What's your thoughts about veterans as we're coming to the close of this week, Lauren?
You know, they do hold a special place because they're people that have volunteered to put their lives at risk to afford us the ability to not have to put our lives at risk and have the lifestyle that we have here in America. So it's just a great thing that they do, and it's nice to honor them and try to help them out whenever possible.
Well, and there are some things over in the mortgage arena that are very advantageous for veterans, and you can help people out with that, Lauren.
That's right. They're called VA loans, and they have a lot of different things that separate them from regular loans. They can put no money down on home purchases. They can get cash out on their home all the way up to the full value with no mortgage insurance. But they also have really low rates, even lower than normal loans. And so it's a really good program for veterans or active duty military to take advantage of. And I would recommend that if you have a VA loan that has a rate above, anywhere 2.875 or above, that you need to make a phone call and see if you can get a better rate.
Okay. And people can reach you. What is your phone number, Lauren? I have it memorized. Do you?
I hope so. It's 303-880-8881.
That's 303-880-8881. And just a quick question. With all the craziness going on in the election, are interest rates staying stable, or what's happening with that?
They are. They're bouncing around at this low level. And they're staying low. Yes, they are. We haven't seen much change at all.
Okay. And do you think things could change between a Biden administration and a Trump administration? Is there a reason? Well, there probably is a reason to go ahead and give you a call, because you never know what the future could hold. But do you see a difference between the two, Lauren?
You know, I'm really have my eye on that Georgia races on January 5th, because I think if we have a Biden administration but a Republican Senate, I think we're okay. But if for some reason both those Georgia races go the other way, that could cause some things to happen just based on what Biden's people are able to implement. But for right now, I think we're okay, at least through that race, and see what happens.
That would be a reason, then, I would say, to move, to not sit on the sidelines. Opportunity is knocking right now with these low rates. We don't know what the future holds. People can reach you, Lauren, at 303-880-8881. And for my listeners, if, in fact, there is an appraisal that is needed, which is about $500-$600, Lauren, you will pick that up.
That's right. For your listeners, we have a program that's always running where we'll pay for the appraisal if one's required. That's right.
Okay. Lauren Levy, thank you so much. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
You as well. Thanks, Kim.
Okay. And also on the line, Karen Levine, another great partner of mine. She is an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. Karen Levine, we're coming in on the close on Veterans Day week, and you are a partner also of both of my shows. I so appreciate that. What's your thoughts about our veterans?
Well, I just want to shout out to you, Kim, and give you kudos for a beautiful and honorable week of wonderful guests. And the fact that you highlight the people that have created the home of the free and the brave. And I think that we lose sight of that in our day-to-day living, of the freedoms that we are afforded. And one of those is home ownership. And I, of course, you know, fight hard to preserve home ownership throughout our country. And I would echo what Lauren said with regards to if we are able to keep a Republican Senate, that will create some balance, which gives an opportunity for the National Association of Realtors a very workable environment to get our policies regarding home ownership and private property rights done. So I think it's, you know, really amazing the men and women who have chosen, as Lauren said, volunteered for our country and for the rights that we have been afforded and risk their lives to do that. And certainly appreciate the honor you've given them throughout this week.
And I would go through sometimes in the airport and I would see a veteran, and sometimes I would offer to say, can I buy you a cup of coffee? Or here's $5, go buy yourself a cup of coffee, or $10 or whatever to buy lunch. Many times they say, oh, no, no, no. And I say, well, thank you so much for your service. But at some point, one of the veterans said, it's okay, but just thank me for your freedom. And Karen, I think you just hit on this. We take our freedom for granted here. And I'm super concerned about this election as I am seeing, as Biden is talking about his transition team, I see these as people that are maybe not focused so much on freedom. And I'm super concerned about that. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I think that concern is valid. And I know that the Realtor Party has a few concerns, which have to do with home ownership and investment in private property. And that's where we have to stop being quiet and we need to speak up and be heard. We've been polite maybe way too long.
And you and I were talking yesterday. What are a couple of those things that you're concerned about? Because the American idea is this big, broad middle class, mm-hmm. and home ownership is a component of that. And you've got a couple of minutes. What's your concerns?
Well, one of the things we're keeping an eye on is what is known as a 1031 exchange, and that affords individuals who have invested in real estate, if that investment has sort of run its course or the investor's objectives have changed or their scenario has changed, they have the ability to sell that property and exchange into another property, which means buy another real estate property, and in so doing, they have a period of time, 120 to 180 days, to make that exchange. It has to be determined up front when they sell the property, so there's guidelines set forth to do the exchange, but the exchange affords them to defer any capital gains tax. It doesn't afford them to not pay capital gains tax. It just puts that timeline off for them, so that when they ultimately sell their last property through the exchange profit process, they would pay capital gains. So we have heard that that is something that President Biden would like to abolish or get rid of. A President Biden, correct. And the other is the capital gains tax itself and placing more burden, raising the capital gains tax, which is another avenue that would take away from the middle class, from wealth, because it really is a very broad section of our populace, obviously the middle class, that has invested in real estate and other investments that have capital gains consequences. So those are the two currently on our radar to keep our eyes on, and you know, we're ready to go to battle should that become a risk.
Okay, and you are on that National Board of Realtors as well, and so you have a voice on that, Karen Levine.
I do, and today is our Board of Directors meeting, which will be via Zoom platform, and we will be making some, I think, important decisions for our organization and for the American people in home ownership.
Karen Levine, people can reach you at 303-877-7516. You can help people buy their home, sell their home, be on their side of the table if they're looking at a new build. And again, Karen Levine, 303-877-7516. You're partner of both of my shows. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Kim. And I am certain that your last guest is going to blow us away. So we look forward to hearing from him.
Going to be awesome. And so thank you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Jason McBride, we're coming in on the end of our Veterans Day week shows, Presidential Wealth Management, your colleagues over there. Jason McBride, what's your thoughts on our shows this week?
Well, I think they're great. I don't know of anybody else that is taking their time, their money, and their shows to do so much work to honor our veterans. So I know that I certainly appreciate it. I'm sure the veterans that listen to the show certainly appreciate it. And I know that that you and I and your sponsors and your listeners certainly appreciate them as well.
It has just really been an honor. And it's something that just happened really organically, Jason. I've always really valued the military and my freedom. And I realize that we're free because they're brave. We're free because they are willing to put everything on the line, and we take it for granted. But when I went to Normandy and then started to understand what happened on D-Day, returned back and realized each soldier, each Marine, each airman, each Navy personnel, every one of them has a personal story, and it needs to be heard. And it is truly an honor and a labor of love for me to get to do these interviews, Jason.
Well, I agree, Kim, and again, I can't say much, but thank you for your tremendous efforts and taking the initiative and the time to do what you do for our veterans and for our country, for that matter.
We have a country. We stand on the shoulders of giants, and that is why we do this show every day, to bring truth and clarity to these issues. And Jason McBride, you and your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management are a valued partner in making this happen.
Well, we sure appreciate you too, Kim, and we're proud to be partnered with you.
And there are things that you can do between now and the end of the year, and I really think you should sit down with Jason or one of your colleagues there at Presidential Wealth Management, and because take a look if there is a Biden administration versus a Trump administration. I think it's going to be a Trump administration once we get through all this fraud, but I don't know for sure. But no matter what, sit down and take a look. There's some things you can do from a defensive position, and a discovery session would be an excellent idea, Jason McBride. How can people reach you?
Well, a couple of easy ways. One, just give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600. Or Kim, they can learn more on the web at AIR, that's AIRpresidential.com.
Jason McBride, you have a great weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday.
All right, Kim. Bye-bye.
We're going to go to break. When we come back, I will be talking with Major General John Ron. He was with the 5th Ranger Battalion, 1st Wave, Omaha Beach, June 6, 1944. You won't want to miss it.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get first look at all of our Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcasts, as well as our most recent op-eds. And we'd appreciate it if you go over to Facebook and give us a like. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. I am thoroughly honored to introduce my next guest. He is Major General John Ron Jr. He was with the 5th Ranger Battalion, 1st Wave, Omaha, D-Day, 1944. General Ron, welcome to the show. Hold on. Are we there?
I'm there.
Hi, General Ron. It's Kim Munson. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. And you?
I am doing well as also. We have done some interviews before, and a lot of information there. You were with the 5th Ranger Battalion, 1st Wave, Omaha Beach on D-Day. What do you remember most about that day, General Ron?
Well, I think probably waiting. And the reason I say that is we were really actually the 2nd Wave. We were supposed to follow the 2nd Battalion up the cliffs at Pointe d'Auc on the Normandy coast. And we got in position and circled and circled and circled, waiting for the 2nd Battalion to tell us to come on in behind them. They never did. They were delayed by going to the wrong point, and as a result, we were 40 minutes late landing, and by that time, we had to implement what we called Plan B, which was to move to Vierville and follow the 29th Division's 116th Infantry over what was called Omaha Dog Green Beach. So it was that waiting. We waited and waited and waited. We were in position 15 minutes early, so we waited for about 45 minutes, just circling and circling.
What was going through your mind at that time as our guys were going onto those beaches and you were waiting?
Well, it was, what's gone wrong? Obviously, something had gone terribly wrong, and finally, we were forced to implement what we call Plan B and move to Vierville, Omaha Dog Green Beach.
And as you were moving along, you were taking quite a bit of fire. Is that correct? Do I remember that right?
Well, actually, we weren't taking any fire as yet. The Germans... let's face it, we were probably 3-4 miles offshore, and most of the Germans couldn't see us. Most of the small arms wouldn't reach us, and the artillery would not have been very effective against us, as scattered out as we were on the English Channel. So we didn't take any fire that I can remember while we were circling and waiting. When we moved over toward Vierville, as we approached the beach, about 1,000 yards out, they had a number of small boats called landing control. And the landing control told us, do not land on Omaha Green Beach. Go to Omaha Dog White, where there is not so much fire. So we shifted over to Omaha Dog White, and we had 3 flotillas of about 7 boats each. And we started in. The first flotilla landed and were almost wiped out by the enormous amounts of German fire. And that, at that point, we did see fire and have some fire on us. I was in the 3rd Wave, which was perhaps 10 minutes behind that first wave. But my battalion commander saw the disaster happening to his first wave and told us to divert to the next beach, Omaha Dog Red, which we did. And on Omaha Dog Red, we landed 2 waves of Rangers, a full 5th Ranger Infantry Battalion. We landed them despite the fire, and we were taking quite a bit of fire coming in from both artillery and small arms, plus the fact that the German obstacles had mines on them, so you had to avoid those mines as well as worry about being shot at. And finally landed. The landing, as far as I was concerned, was perfect. When I ran down the ramp, I was second man off the boat. When I ran down the ramp, I noticed that the water didn't even go above my boots and get down in my shoes. So the English coxswain that we had made a beautiful landing, almost dry landing, the driest landing I ever had in training. And we were on the beach, about 50 yards from the seawall, a short run, and we were in the protection of the seawall and the breakwaters that came out from the seawall toward the English Channel.
And your battalion had some good luck, I might say, because you said that we'll tell our listeners, the hill in front of you was on fire, if I remember right, from one of our conversations.
That's correct. The hill was on fire, and the Germans, who should have been shooting at us from above, and we would have been like fish in a barrel there, they couldn't see us. And worse than that for them, the flames were approaching their ammunition, and they felt it was not a good idea to stay in their hole, so many of them abandoned their positions, leaving their weapons there, and ran for the hedgerows. So we had the luck of that fire and the smoke, which obscured us from their vision, so they couldn't shoot at us. We were also lucky that the breakwaters prevented any enemy fire from our right reaching us, because we could hide down behind these huge rock breakwaters that were about 4 feet high. The rocks were perhaps a foot in diameter, maybe 18 inches in diameter. And they just put us in a perfect little fort where we only took five people, casualties out of about 500 men. That's 1%. And on every other beach, they were taking 50% or more casualties. So we were very, very lucky.
Now, tell us the story about General Cotta. I find that absolutely fascinating.
Well, okay. I do want to say that recently I have been involved in an effort by the family of General Cotta and the 29th Division to get General Cotta's Distinguished Service Cross for his actions on D-Day, to get that Distinguished Service Cross elevated to a Medal of Honor, which he fully deserved, believe me. I thought he earned a Medal of Honor when I saw him. And as I've gone through the things that he did on D-Day that were out of my sight, he was out of sight for a Medal of Honor. I mean, he just was tremendous. But we were sitting there between the breakwaters, probably had landed about 5 minutes. In that 5 minutes, I had gotten the orders to what I was supposed to do, which was to move to my left about 75 yards and follow one of the Ranger companies through a gap that had blown in the barbed wire in the defense of the German positions. And as we were sitting there waiting to move, some of my men said, "Hey, Cap, look at that crazy guy over there." Well, I looked to my right. The seawall had ended to my right where this man was, and there were nothing but dunes. I looked to my right, and here was a little old fat guy walking up and down the beach, completely exposed to the artillery fire, completely exposed to all that dreadful small arms fire. And he was just yelling and ranting and raving and waving his cigar. It was unlit. Waving his cigar at the troops. And he was about 100, 150 yards away. We sort of thought about it, and we decided he had to be one of two things. A crazy newspaper man who didn't know what danger he was in because he hadn't gone through the training, or he was a high-ranking officer trying to exhort the troops in front of him to get the hell off the beach so they wouldn't be killed on the beach and get them killed inland somewhere. So we noticed that he was moving in our direction, paid little or no attention until he reached the end of the breakwater nearest me, and I said, "I better go down and talk with this guy." So I stood up went down to the edge of the breakwater, and as I looked at him, I saw a little old silver star on his collar, and I said, Plan D. So I properly saluted, which was stupid under those conditions. I properly saluted and said, Sir, Captain Ron, 5th Ranger Infantry Battalion. And he looked at me, returned my salute, and said, Ron? Jack Ron's son? And I said, Yes, sir, I'm Jack Ron's son. Your son was a classmate of mine at West Point. And he said, Well, what's the situation here? So I described the situation that the 5th Ranger Infantry Battalion had landed about 200 yards, with a 200-yard front from where I was standing. The battalion commander had ordered us to proceed through the gaps that we had blown in the wire, and we had blown four of them. And the first companies were already getting ready to go through those gaps. He said, where's your battalion commander? I said, well, there he is, sir, about 75 yards over. I don't think you can see him, but he's sitting on the wall there, the seawall. So he said, thank you very much, and he started off. And he hadn't gone 5 yards when he turned around and said to all the Rangers that were there, and they were about 100 within the sound of his voice, he said, you men are Rangers. I know you won't let me down. Well, by the time he had gotten to Colonel Schneider, that saying of his had morphed into Lead the Way, Rangers, which ends up being the motto of the Rangers of today. So that was how the Ranger motto was born, and I was the first to hear it, though it wasn't quite worded the same. It meant the same.
I actually was looking for that, because for the end of the show, I always have a quote, and I have a quote from General Coda about the 29th. We'll get to that, and that was the fight in 29th, how that happened. Major General John Ron, we're going to go to break, but how old were you on D-Day?
I was a 22-year-old Ranger captain.
And how old are you today?
98.
98 years old. This is such an honor to get to have you on the show. We're going to go to break, Major General John Ron. Before we do that, though, I want to give a shout out to another one of my great partners, and that is Castlegate Knife and Tool. They are located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. They have a wide range of knife selection, a great place to go do your Christmas shopping. More information, go to castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We'll be right back with General John Ron.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, our most recent podcasts, our most recent op-eds. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. I have on the line with me Major General John Ron, World War II veteran. And before I get back to General Ron, I need to clarify something with all of you. I have interviewed many, many veterans and have been to Normandy for D-Day, and I was incorrect. I said that General Ron was First Wave Omaha, and I realize in my mind I was thinking First Wave and First Day, but there is a big difference, and General Ron, you just clarified that as we began the show. I appreciate that, and I apologize that I have not gotten that correct for some time.
Well, I'll forgive you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. General Ron, we have about 10 minutes, and it's going to go by quickly. What story do you want our listeners to hear about your experience on D-Day, June 6, 1944? The story with General Cota is, I think, just absolutely fascinating. What else should our listeners know?
Well, the troops that we had there, particularly the Rangers, I never saw a one of them falter. And the reason they didn't falter was of training. In wartime, training is everything. What training teaches you is how to do the job you're about to try to do, but it also teaches you what to do if something goes wrong. And I've already told you a number of things that went wrong. The 2nd Battalion was led to the wrong point, not the Pointe d'Arc, but the Pointe de la Percée. they knew what to do. They turned to the right and went about a mile under very heavy fire from Germans on the cliffs, shooting at them for close to a mile with all sorts of machine guns and cannon. But things go wrong. They always do. And training is the thing that makes you respond correctly, always keeping the mission in mind. That's the first lesson. The second lesson is the resourcefulness of the American soldier. He is the best soldier in the world, by far. He does not follow blindly. He uses his mind. And the troops of particularly the Oriental nations, they follow blindly. And that was really a trouble with the German army that we faced, was that the men were highly trained, experts in their trade. They were good. But when things went wrong, they had not been trained to use whatever means were at hand to correct the situation. So that's the second thing. And the resourcefulness of the American soldier was brought out by the fact that tanks could not fight in the hedgerow country. The hedgerows were actually mounds of dirt and rocks that had been used to clear the farm fields. And over the centuries, and we're talking centuries, birds had picked up seeds and had dropped them into the barriers that were separating the farmlands, namely these piles of rocks. And little trees sprouted up and shrubbery and all sorts of things. And the hedgerow was a formidable barrier to the action of tanks. They couldn't push them over. All they did was they would climb up the face of these rocks and expose their very vulnerable bottoms to German fire. They just could not operate in hedgerow country. And some young sergeant, an engineer sergeant, said, hey, we got an awful lot of iron down here from the German obstacles on the beach. Let's make them into a sort of scissors or forks. And the tanks can run into those hedgerows with them and dig out holes through the hedgerows, which they did. And we became, the armor was able to move almost freely after that point within the hedgerow country, simply because they could tear down a hedgerow in about 5 minutes of backing, filling, and turning. So the uniqueness of the American soldier was so important. And the last thing that I want to say is there wasn't a single soldier on that beach that did not know that every man, woman, and child in the United States was rooting for them. We had tremendous support, particularly from Hollywood. You name any man, male star of that era, and he was not in Hollywood. He was out there fighting, fighting as privates in the infantry, fighting as boat drivers, fighting as pilots, fighting as battalion commanders, fighting as commandos, the British in particular, fighting as commandos. The American public supported us, and that's so important to the American soldier. He'll do anything as long as you give him the support.
It's interesting when you talk about this resourcefulness and following blindly. And when I was over in Normandy at the chateau that we were at, there was also a group of Brits that were there. And that was one of the things that our guy said that was a little different from the Brits is that they waited for orders. And whereas the American soldier, when they realized that they needed to make a decision, the American soldier that day stepped in and made that decision. In fact, I had actually interviewed Dr. Alan Gelzo regarding Gettysburg. He's an expert on Gettysburg. And he said that that's something about Gettysburg, that the Union soldiers were making decisions on the ground that they needed to make. And I hadn't really put the two together until you said that, General Ron.
Yeah, well, it's very, very true. The Marines call it initiative, and that's a pretty good word. The American soldier has a great deal of initiative. He knows what the mission is, and we try to keep him informed so that the lowest soldier knows what he's after, what he's supposed to be doing. And if things don't go according to plan, he still tries to find a solution that will get him to accomplish his mission. The American soldier is really quite brilliant in that sense. And the reason why, in those days, so many of our soldiers were farmers. You stop and think about it. The farmer has to show initiative when the rain doesn't come and when the bugs come and things like that. So they were used to demonstrating initiative. And they understand the shooting of varmints with their varmint guns around the farm. So they were well-trained riflemen in many respects. And the American soldier was just a super soldier in World War II.
We have just a few minutes left. That day, it was a long day for you. Just yeah. Tell our listeners about that.
Well, I was sort of the loose cannon. My job was headquarters commandant or headquarters company commander, and all of my troops were farmed out to other people to do their jobs. I had two men in the S3 section of battalion. I had two more in the S2 section. They were scattered all over. I had a motor pool. I had a communications platoon. So my troops were all scattered. That meant that I didn't have a job, and when I went into the battalion commander or the exec and reported into him, they'd say, "Hey, Red, go do so-and-so." So I ended up on a number of one-man reconnaissances, which are it's a pretty hairy course to be alone in enemy country, making a reconnaissance down a hedgerow line or a fence line. But I went out on two or three of these one-man reconnaissance patrols, never got shot at. Well, I got shot at, but never got hit. So in that sense, it was pretty exciting for me. But once the battalion got together and started moving on to Vierville, I was at the end of the column, and I had nothing to do but duck and duck walk. We got in the ditches, and to keep our heads down, we duck walked. My legs were so tired and sore, at the end of the day, I could hardly stand up. Those muscles had been tested beyond their endurance.
Wow, that's quite a day. And how long did that day last for you? How long before you got some sleep?
Well, I didn't get any sleep that night either. I hadn't had any sleep for 48 hours, and I didn't get any sleep that night. There was always something happening, a minor skirmish out there that you had to worry about, or meetings of the battalion commander with the company commanders, of which I was one, and that type thing. I got no sleep that night.
General Ron, I know people would love to hear more and more, and we have done other interviews, and people can find those at America's Veteran Stories. We have just a minute left. What is the final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
My final thought is the citizenry of this United States, or these United States, should be very grateful to the sacrifices made by the men of the armed forces. We don't see that in a lot of cases now because the politics are in such a turmoil. But the basic job of the American people is to support the armed forces. because we are the ones that have kept them from speaking Japanese, or perhaps it's Russian, or perhaps it's German. It's the armed forces that gave them their freedom. That's it.
Major General John Ron Jr., it has been such an honor to have you on the show. I greatly appreciate it. I thank you for my freedom. I thank each and every veteran for my freedom. And as we come to a close of our Veterans Day week shows, you were the perfect guest to have on today. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me, Kim. It's been a pleasure.
And our quote for today is from Army General Norman Cota, who rallied his men of the 29th Division at Omaha Beach on D-Day, Normandy, France, personally leading them up and off the beach, earning a Distinguished Service Cross for his gallantry, and hopefully he will get a Medal of Honor for that as well. He said, there's only two kinds of people are going to stay on this beach, those that are already dead and those that are going to die. Now get off your butts. You guys are the fighting 29th. And my friends, on that today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Through the mountains climbing, twisting, turning further from my home.